Good morning, new song. Let's find our seat and have a seat. I'm going to pray for the service here. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together, to be in one place. This is the day of International Day of Prayer, and I thank you that we get to take the time in which to do that. I pray that you would speak through the people that are going to be praying, and just speak through this time we have together. Pray that you would give Dad the words to speak, and the other people that are praying power and boldness. I pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Graham. Well, as he mentioned in his prayer, in fact, today is what is known as the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. I don't know how informed or where you are about the persecution that's going on around the world. Apparently, even as late as last night, I don't know how many of you are on X, but I am a little bit, and I'm aware that even our president was, what do you call it, Xing? No longer called tweeting. Something about what's going on in Nigeria. Did you know that since the 1st of January, Muslims have killed 7,000 Christians in Nigeria. Since 2009, they've killed 70,000 Christians. And since 2001, they have killed 100,000 Christians. An estimated 3.5 to 5 million are homeless as they've been fleeing this jihad against them. And it's estimated that 5 to 10,000 have been kidnapped and are being held for ransom for varying amounts of money. Maybe recently, now that it has come to the attention of our president and others in the administration, maybe you'll be hearing more about it. But probably up till now, you have not heard it through traditional media sources. But we take these things quite seriously here, because those people are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as a foreign missionary, I relished the opportunity of meeting people from who were not Americans, who were believers in Jesus, as am I. Maybe you're not aware, maybe you are, that in so many parts of the world, Americans are really looked up to. Like, you guys like live in, people think, well, you guys live in Disneyland, or your country is so wonderful. And we have our problems, I know, but we have a wonderful country. And very often people from other countries can, Christians from other countries can look at Christians from America and think we're kind of a cut above, or we're something better. No, I would just assure them, look, I would say to them, you are more my brother, you are more my sister than perhaps a person living across the street from me in my neighborhood who doesn't know Christ, but who looks like me, is white like me, and talks like me. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we take very seriously, when they suffer, we need to kind of feel that along with them. And as we're going to be seeing here, or maybe we'll see right now, this is the passage that we have sort of based this on now. Since 2015, annually, first Sunday in November, we engage with this International Day of Prayer. And I'm inviting you this morning, though I have specifically invited seven individuals who are going to come up, and they've been assigned certain specific aspects, things to pray for. I want to just encourage you this morning to not be merely a spectator. Now, we'll know, only God can see a person's heart and know what's going on in their mind. So a person is either going to just kind of observe what's going on, and that's where you're at, and that's what you want to do, that's perfectly fine. But I want to invite you to consider, with your mind, with your heart, praying along with the people who are up front, interceding. Agree with them. Because this is a privilege that we all have together corporately as God's people, to wield a kind of weapon. When I came in the door this morning, now what I'm going to say, please don't anybody take any of this personally. I looked around at the people sitting on the couches. This was around 9:15 this morning, and they didn't strike me as formidable people. when it comes to combat. We have some, shall I say, mature ladies here, which, you know, I don't think I'd worry too much if I came up against them on the battlefield, so to speak. But there is a battlefield for us as Christians to engage in the realm of the spirit. And maybe I am talking about you. I don't know. But I think you know what I mean. I even seeing these little kids up here, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I'll bet, and I don't claim to know what the devil knows. Let's not ascribe to the devil attributes of God. God is omniscient. He knows everything. I don't know that Satan necessarily knows everything that's going on in the world. But if he's paying attention, he sees these little ones who are being trained with the word of God. And I'm guessing right now the devil's starting to sweat a little bit. And I want to make him sweat more. And I want to invite you to engage with those who are going to be praying up front this morning, because we are in a spiritual war. Now, I highlighted Nigeria. In years past, we've specified a number of different countries, and I ask people to pray for specific countries. I just use Nigeria as a case in point, although arguably not that level of persecution is happening necessarily all around the world. But in varying degrees, persecution is happening in many parts of the world. And I'm not appealing to anybody to strap a gun, a literal gun on their shoulder and get on a plane and go, quote unquote, fight the bad guys. Because there's one ultimate bad guy that we oppose, whom Jesus called the evil one. And so I just want to appeal to you this morning that I don't want to hit the wrong thing. Something just popped up on my screen here.
Your wife.
My wife. Yeah, I don't want to do anything to... I guess you guys can see that too. Okay, thank you. Anyway, as Ashley is working his magic here. Okay, we're back to where we should be. The verse that we've kind of based off on in the past is this one from Hebrews 13. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. I've never been incarcerated, but I've been inside prisons. As I mentioned some weeks ago, I actually was on death row some months ago and interacted with some men there. I've been in prison, but I've never been on the wrong side of a prison cell. And we are to try to imagine what that must be like, or what it must be like to have lost loved ones, to have your church burned down, to have some of your members hacked to death, some of your daughters raped, some of your young men tortured for Christ. What must that feel like? Well, you're invited to try to feel it along with them. Maybe that will motivate you. Maybe that will inspire you to be serious about interceding for them, for those who are, as it says, ill-treated. Today is the last, and I promise this is the last installment of what has become an 11-part series on called Against the Schemes. We've been basing it on Ephesians 6. I really have to speed it up here because we have a lot to put in the service here this morning. But we've been looking at Ephesians 6. I'm not even going to take time to turn there, but where the Apostle Paul likens the accoutrements, the arms and the armor of a Roman soldier to the weapons that you and I have been given by the Holy Spirit in the realm of the Spirit to oppose the schemes of the evil one. He refers to the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots, the combat boots, so to speak, of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And thank you, Phil, for filling in for me sort of last minute. One of my siblings passed away, and I was out of town at her memorial service, and so he ably filled in addressing the sword of the Spirit. And today I want to use a phrase which admittedly is not necessarily an actual biblical phrase, but I think this is what is described, what I call warfare prayer. Usually Christians tend to think, well, prayer is something for me to get stuff from God. Okay, it's not wrong to ask God for things. Give us this day our daily bread. Good. But there's more to prayer than getting stuff from God. After going through the various aspects of the armor, Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So prayer is listed. Some people are not so sure, should this be viewed as a piece of the armor? He doesn't like it to an actual weapon, but it's right at the end of the list. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think this is part of the weaponry, so to speak. So we're going to engage in a kind of warfare, spiritual warfare this morning, and you're invited, of course, to pray along. So without further ado, I'm going to ask, Sue is going to be the first person praying. Sue, why don't you, oh, sorry, Gordon, I'm sorry. Keep me straight, good. I looked down, I saw Sue. So Gordon is going to lead us, and they've been assigned specific things to pray for. And again, I invite you to follow along, heart and mind, and unite with them as they intercede for us.
All right.
With us, thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you that we can call you Father, along with all the saints suffering in this world today, and for all those who call you Father as well. Thank you for giving us the gift of prayer, a precious gift, giving us access into your presence where we can lay our petitions at your feet. We thank you for all the prayers you have answered and for all those you will answer. We are gathered here today to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, for those who are suffering with the evils, under the evils of this world. We pray, Father, that they sense your presence and love. We pray that each of these saints has a peace that passes understanding. As David encouraged Solomon, we pray that they will be strong and courageous, that they do not fear or become dismayed, but instead that they would know that their God, the eternal God of heaven and earth, is with them. We also pray that you make our persecuted brothers and sisters aware of and encouraged by our prayers. Ephesians 6 instructs us to offer prayers and supplications for all saints. We pray then today with all prayer and supplication for these saints, our brothers and sisters who face these daily hardships and persecution. Father, we pray that throughout the world, suffering believers will continue to put their trust and hope in you and know that you are their shield and sword. Bless them with a blessed assurance and peace, knowing that nothing can separate them from the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you join me in praying for the comfort and courage of our persecuted brothers and sisters? Our most gracious and compassionate Heavenly Father, dearest Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, we plead for our persecuted brothers and sisters, wherever they are in the world, suffering because they have declared allegiance to Jesus Christ. We ask that they be comforted by the Holy Spirit in their isolation, their loneliness, their fear, their separation from friends and family that may have betrayed and turned against them for their devotion to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Keep their hopes alive in the midst of their very real earthly losses. Allow them to feel our prayers on their behalf and be encouraged. May they recall to mind all of the praise songs they've ever sung and scriptures that speak directly to their souls in order to strengthen their hearts and resolve. Help them to stand firm and keep a strong grip on the truth that they may share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remind them you are aware of their sacrifices. Deliver them from terror, temptation, and treachery. Bring to their minds that you have warned them of persecution as a consequence, that the world would hate them and accuse them unjustly, that they should be ready for Christ's sake to face death at every moment, like sheep awaiting slaughter. Despite all this, overwhelming victory awaits. Lastly, that nothing can ever separate them from your love, which you demonstrated by our Lord Jesus when he died for us. Remain faithful and receive the crown of life. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
So Jack assigned a couple of verses in order to help me understand what he would like addressed in my prayer. And I'm going to just very quickly tell you that the first one involved Peter and John in the temple. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then the religious leaders threatened them, forbade them to even speak or teach of Christ. And so the whole group of Christians afterward prayed this. They said, "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your bond servants to speak your word with all confidence." And then the other verse was in Colossians where Paul says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, in thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word to proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak." So those are the things that were on my mind as I thought about this. And so now, please pray with me. Lord, we ask that you would keep and guard your persecuted servants, keep them in your care, that they might give to their neighbors, as Peter and John gave to the crippled man, what he had, and that he had was what you had given to him, which is the knowledge of the truth, and that truth is your love for all mankind, by reason of which you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation of sin, by the sacrifice of himself, so that you, Father, are reconciled to the world, and you raised your chosen one from the dead, so that all who trust in him are reconciled to you, receiving forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And this is what makes all of the suffering worthwhile, Lord. We ask you to bring these things to their mind, that they might share it. And then we ask that you would strengthen your persecuted servants, Lord, to be ready and able to proclaim your gospel clearly, even in the face of threats of physical harm and even to death. For we trust with them that to leave this life is to enter into eternal life with you. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we humbly come before you today to remember, to stand with, and to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. We can't even begin to comprehend the horrors and violence that they may have experienced and are still experiencing, but we lift them up to you today and ask that you would strengthen them in all that they are currently going through. Help them to be joyful in the midst of their suffering as they fix their eyes on you, Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of their faith. Help them to consider it pure joy as they face their various trials, reminding them that the testing of their faith produces perseverance. May they be like the apostles who, after having been flogged, rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering for your name. May the God of hope fill them with all joy and peace as they trust in you, so that they may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We think of our brothers and sisters. Many have lost friends and family members to violence. They have had their homes or churches burned or destroyed. Some are in prison. Others face hostility and physical attacks because of their faith. Please help them to love their enemies and to pray for those who persecute them. Let them remember that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and give them that same heart of love and forgiveness for their enemies. May they be ones who are able to bless those who persecute them, so that they might be light shining brightly to their tormentors. And finally, Lord, give them supernatural power to forgive those who seek to harm and kill them and their loved ones, even as they remember the great forgiveness that you have extended to us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Before we have the next three individuals come forward and lead us, I wanted to take some time to have a bit more explanation about why we're changing course, and in addition to interceding for our hurting brothers and sisters, kind of changing the focus of our prayer for these last three folks who are coming forward. Jesus was interacting with his disciples, and I know that over the years, and perhaps you've seen a few of these Jesus movies, and probably the first one that really made an impression on me was Franco Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth, 1976. Some of you weren't even born then. There are certain scenes, and whether it actually happened like this or not, who knows, but the way Zeffirelli decided to portray what happened and what is recorded in Matthew 16 is that a number of miracles had happened, and people are gathering to follow Jesus, and people are excited, and these healings and resurrections and multiplying bread and fish and exciting things. And it's nighttime, and the disciples have come back to kind of reconvene with Jesus, and they're all standing around the fire, and the flames are jumping up, and the sparks, and they're just all super kind of like high, they weren't exactly high-fiving, but it kind of feel. And Jesus asked them, who are people saying that I am? You know, you've been out among the people. Who do people say that I am? Well, you know, some say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead, because you may be aware that Herod took John the Baptist's life because John was saying, hey, it's against God's law for you to have your brother's wife. And he couldn't tolerate that and put him in prison. And the other woman, so to speak, demanded that his head roll. And so that's what happened. So Herod put John the Baptist to death. And so, well, some are saying it's John the Baptist risen from the dead. Others are saying Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus looks at him and says, but who do you say that I am? Up to that point, it was a bit of a mystery. He had calmed the waters when they were in the boat, and they were like, who is this guy that even the winds and waves obey him? The wheels were turning. They were starting to connect the dots. I wonder if this is God's Messiah. And Peter speaks forth the words, and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. Your name is Peter, Petros, Greek word. But upon this Petra, different Greek word, upon this rock, the bedrock confession of faith about who I am. I am the Christ. I am prophet, priest, and king, come from God, God himself, to save mankind. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, in a quick cursory reading of the passage, some people have gone away with somehow the image of the church and gates, and maybe the church is cowering in a building somewhere, and the big bad forces from without are trying to bang the doors down and get in and hurt the Christians, and the Christians are in there with their knees kind of quaking. No, that is not the picture. It's the exact opposite. The devil is the one who's in the fortress, and we are the aggressors. We have the battering ram, and we're banging away at the door, and that door is going to come down. Why? So that those who are held captive in the fortress can be released and be saved as we've been saved. And so this image of the church militant, the church as being sort of spiritually aggressive, I guess you'd say. So this is a subtitle of today's message. There's no outline, there's no real bulletin insert, because today is not about transmitting information to you only, although I guess you're gathering information as I'm talking. This is participation. We're all involved in interceding. So the title of today's message is, what's in our arsenal? See, a lot of Christians don't realize what weapons have been made available to us. Do you realize, O soldier of Christ, that in our arsenal, there is a weapon we can use to push back the forces of darkness, wielding the weapon of warfare, prayer. As Ephesians 6 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. A last passage I want to refer to, I've often referred to this when it comes to intercessory prayer. Paul says to the church, first of all, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church and he says, first of all, I hope we sit up and pay very close attention to what's going to follow. First of all the things the church does, we do a lot of important things. See all those boxes there? Those are gospel opportunities that are going out, these shoe boxes with all kind of stuffed animals and toys and gospel information for kids around the world. That's very important. Paul says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. We are to have on our hearts the needs of 8 billion people. How in the world? What are you talking about? Yeah. What does it say there in black and white? We are to pray, prayers be made on behalf of all men, everybody. Okay, what does that look like? Then he kind of starts to unpack it. He says, for kings and all who are in authority. In many places around the world, the reason persecution is happening is because those in authority don't have the will or don't have the power to stop it. And it's happening. And I'm going to say that in most cases, probably it's happening with the acute awareness of the people in charge. They're letting it happen. In Nigeria, apparently the people in charge know that the jihadi guys are running rampant and slaughtering Christians, and they're not doing much about it. Consequently, we are to pray for those in authority in these other countries so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. The word tranquil doesn't mean so that we can lead a life of ease. Now, there's nothing wrong with relaxing, taking a nap, taking a vacation. Okay, be comfortable. Go sit in your hot tub or whatever. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, okay? But the idea is that we may lead a tranquil. The word in Greek means unagitated, unmolested, unhassled, that we can go about our business. What if the authorities came in and they took all these boxes out in the parking lot and threw gas on them and put a match on them? I would say they're hassling us. They're keeping us from doing what God wants us to do. So it is God's will that we have kings who let us do this kind of stuff. In many countries, this would never be tolerated. But we have the freedom in our country to do it, and we need to pray for kings in countries around the world so that the Christians can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Why is that important? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why? He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He does not want Islam to prevent the spread of the gospel. And I know, in particular, I've asked Bill, he's going to be the last person praying. We're going to have some targeted prayer. I know that in polite society, it's a no-no to criticize someone else's religion, right? And I believe, my opinion is, probably the world over, most Muslims are peace-loving people who just want to raise their family and just have a normal life. And it's probably the minority that are doing the jihad thing, but that's very much a part of the core of their religion, though. And it is not God's will that Islam prevent, and they are committed to preventing, by the way, the spread of the gospel. So we need to pray. And here's another thing we just need to understand. Wow, that feels for us Americans, hey, there's freedom of speech. Anyone can believe whatever they want. Yes, they can. It just kind of feels like, it feels kind of harsh, doesn't it, to criticize someone else's religion. Well, we need to realize that Islam is more than a religion. It is a political ideology which takes over countries and enslaves its people. And too many people, that's a religion, we should never criticize it. It's got lots and lots of lies in it, which we don't have time to detail, but Bill's going to be praying specifically for that. So Couple other things I just want to reference real quick before I think Mike, get ready here. You're going to be the next one up. Why don't you come on up? I just want to, I don't want to steal your thunder, Mike. I don't know if you're going to mention this or not, but this is part of what I passed along to Mike. If you're familiar, maybe you're not, or maybe you are, the book of Acts. Acts is about what was happening after Jesus ascended into heaven. What were the apostles doing? And it was the initial spread of the gospel. And at the beginning of Acts chapter 12, it records that Herod had put James, one of the disciples, put James to death with a sword, arrested James and had him killed. And what's more, Herod realized that the Jews, which were part of his constituency, his people in his kingdom, they liked that. And so the implication was, okay, Herod was thinking, hey, I'm on a roll here. I took out James and the Jews really liked that. And so he had Peter arrested. Peter's neck is on the chopping block, so to speak. So Peter's in prison. This miracle happens. An angel comes and releases him from prison. Peter goes to the other Christians and then talks to them and kind of goes into hiding. Well, right after that, in the second half of the chapter, we have this story, which I think maybe some Christians look at and think, why is this story even in the Bible? And it's there for a reason. Immediately following, Herod goes to the people of Tyre and Sidon, and he's giving a speech to them, and they say, oh, the voice of a god and not a man. They're kind of schmoozing him or kind of, you know, kissing up to him, whatever. I don't know if you want to say it. They're acting like, whether they really believed he was a god or not, I don't know. But he's taking all this in. Oh, they're worshiping me as a god. And he did not push back on that kind of, he accepted that praise. Some of you know the Bible says that he fell down and was eaten by worms. And what's really telling is the very next verse after he meets his demise, it says, and the gospel kept spreading. Do you think that the word got out in the Roman Empire to all the rulers of the kind of the sub-kingdoms in the bigger Roman Empire? Look what happens if you stand against the Christian. This Herod guy was trying to prevent the Christians from doing their thing, and look what happened to him. Yeah, this is it's a bad idea if you're a king and you stand against Christ. That's not going to end well for you. So we are to pray. I wish I had time to get into a lot more detail, but again, I have to remind myself, I'm saying this to me as much as I'm saying it to you. This is not about Jack preaching. This is about actually doing the work of interceding. So, Mike, without further ado, why don't you lead us?
Please join with me in praying for kings and those in authority. Lord, you have called us to be subject to our governing authorities. You have placed them over us. You have called us to also to hold them up in prayer. So Lord, in obedience, that's what we want to do this morning. Our governing authorities rule only because you have granted them their high position. There's no authority, O Lord, except from you. And those which exist are ones that you have established. By you, kings reign and rulers decree justice. And by you, princes rule and nobles and all who judge rightly. You have given them a task to do, to punish evil and to reward good. You have placed them in these positions to be a servant of God to the righteous for good and to reward and praise those who do good, but also to be an avenger of those who bring who brings wrath on those who practice evil. And Lord, it just seems like many of these governing authorities try to do the exact opposite, to punish good and to reward evil. Many are corrupt, motivated by worldly gain, political power, ego, and just plain wickedness. We pray for these leaders, for wisdom and understanding and fulfilling the purposes you have established for them in carrying out their righteous duties as leaders of countries, regions, and people groups. We pray for those leaders who are under pressure to compromise with evil, to corrupt justice, to shrink from punishing evil and rewarding good, and to cater to the desires of the wicked. Make them sensitive to the cry of the innocent and the needs of the oppressed. Make them sensitive to the voice of wisdom, which cries out at the head of the noisy streets, who calls the naive, the simple-minded, and the scoffers to repentance. Give these leaders strength to resist the pull to fall into one of these categories. Help them to humble themselves and repent where they need to. Make them bold to take a stand against evil. Give them compassion and wisdom to assist those undergoing suffering and persecution. We pray that they would be surrounded by wise counselors and that evil counselor would be removed and cast down. We pray that those that have hardened their hearts and have taken a stand against the Lord and against his anointed, who have rejected all sound wisdom and thrown off all moral restraint, we pray that for grace to give them these leaders a repentant heart, because you have installed your king upon Zion, your holy mountain. All authority comes from you, and you have given all authority in heaven and on earth to your anointed. So it belongs to you, Lord, and you raise up one and you cast down another. So for these leaders and regimes who harden their heart and who will not repent, even those who act as Herod did after persecuting the church, who did not give God the glory, but was prideful and kept the glory for himself, and who was immediately struck by an angel of the Lord and was eaten by worms and died. We pray that you will remove these leaders and regimes and replace them with leaders who will rule in accordance with your counsel and wisdom. Strike the scoffers so that the naive may become shrewd, even those who have been entrenched for decades and who seem to be a permanent fixture. Remove them swiftly, and may the righteous flourish. For you put down one and exalt another. You remove kings and establish kings. O Lord, you give wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. We pray especially for governing authorities in countries where our brothers and sisters in Christ are oppressed and experiencing persecution. We pray that you will orchestrate regime changes where necessary, so that the word of the Lord will continue to grow and to be multiplied. And now, Lord, I want to pray specifically for Nigeria, for President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, who is a Muslim, and for Vice President Kashim Shettima, also a Muslim. And Lord, we just thank you that you've placed Tinubu's wife, Olurimi, there. She's a believer, she's a Christian. And Lord, it just reminds me of Esther, Lord, that you have brought her there for such a time as this. And we pray for these men, their hearts would be turned to favor the righteous, to favor your people. They're under pressure, I know, from the Supreme Council for Sharia. They've expressed a disappointment on how they're ruling, and I know they get pressure from all sides. So we pray that you will strengthen them, give them strength to stand against the evil one and to receive the gospel message for themselves. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray. Lord, I also want to pray for Africa and for Nigeria in particular. 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, it's only right that those who oppose the gospel and the Christians are, God opposes them. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for that. Thinking of our own government, Lord, our own president, our own Congress, Lord, that they can take action to protect Christians, particularly in Nigeria, where churches have been burned, where people have been killed, as Jack was telling us. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for those leaders in our country and those leaders in Nigeria. And I ask you, Lord, to stop the lying that's taking place in the media and in social media. People are being paid to lie. that this isn't happening here. People aren't being tortured or persecuted. Churches aren't being burned. It's being denied. And that is a lie. Pray, Lord, that you would oppose that lying. God, I ask you Lord, we know it's right that you oppose enemies of Christ, but we also know that we've been told to pray for our enemies. And Lord, I pray for these leaders, God, that they would come to know Jesus Christ, for the Muslims in Africa, that they would come to know Christ. Lord Jesus, please turn them from their evil ways. Lord, we know, as Sue was praying, just that we at one time were enemies of you as well. And we ask you to turn these people to Christ. I also ask you, Lord, for purity of doctrine in the gospel of Christ. I've heard so many, the devil not only uses opposition and torture and burning of churches, but he also is creeping in with liars, pastors who are abusing people and not being true to the gospel. I pray for the purity of the gospel, particularly in Nigeria and in Africa, in Jesus' name.
Dear all-loving God, we come before you to plead that the truth about you spread across the world. We praise you as the only true and living God, that you have shown your love for all men and women of this world by sending Jesus to become a man for the purpose of reconciling those who have sinned against you. Jesus, we thank you for paying the price of sin, which is death. Although the names of Allah, that is the God of believers in Islam, include many of your worthy names, we know that one of those names is the distressor who makes harm reach mankind. Dear God, we know that you are in no way a distressor, nor do you make harm to reach us. We acknowledge that the Spirit intercedes for all of God's people in accordance with the will of God, and that in all things, Almighty God, you work for the good of those who love you and who have been called according to your purpose. We thank you, dear God, that you have set your seal of ownership on us and put the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come for each of us. But we know that those of the Islamic faith have no guarantee and are given no guarantee of heaven, and that some make the misled attempts to obtain heaven through killing specifically of Jews and Christians, or of so-called infidels. As the guarantee of forgiveness and of heaven is found only in the redemption that is in Jesus the Messiah, we plead further that the lives of the world be silenced and the darkness left by these lies be replaced by the light of truth. We praise you, Jesus, that you have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We acknowledge that you call us to make followers of all people in the world and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yet we know that those of the Islamic faith have been told that Jesus, the only true begotten Son of God, is not God. Dear God, we plead with you that this lie, which seeks to confine you from being above the ways of men and women and the ways that men and women were created, that those lies be replaced by the truth that your ways, dear God, are above our ways, and that you are the living God for time eternal. You were loving among yourselves well before the beginning of the creation by you of time, of the world, and of all that is in it. Jesus, we not only plead that these lies be replaced by your truth, But also I pray that we are given your wisdom as to how we can each join with you in your yoke, and further that we can join, that we can be joined in you in one spirit with you to do what we can to see that all of these lies be replaced by your truth. Amen.
Well, thank you to the seven of you who helped us this morning. You know, there are many countries of the world where Christians who attempt to have a baptism are often attacked by government authorities, and the kind of thing that we're going to do now would not be permitted. So we relish and thank God for the freedom we have in this country for people to obey Christ and be baptized as a public declaration of their faith. This morning, Kurt and Leanne Brooks are going to come forward. So folks, why don't you come on down? I'm going to give them an opportunity to tell at least a little bit about their story so we can become familiar with that. Push the button. Oh, thank you. Okay. Why don't you put it, guys, why don't you put it kind of out of the way over that way. Yeah, thanks. Okay. So once that we commence with the actual immersion into the water,